On PowerPoint and the points and everything in the scriptures. And if you ever want me to email you these PowerPoints, I can sure do that as well. I've done that several times. But before we start this morning, I want to thank Dusty, who just walked out. He's making sure everything's going okay in the back. But Dusty ministered last week, and I heard that the message was dope. You'll have to see the message about that. And then thank Patricia. She's back in the back, I think, already, isn't she, with the kiddos. And then the Sunday before that, Mark Shell was here, and he ministered. I heard it was a great Sunday. And we got away for a couple of weeks and just relaxed and had a good time and with the grandson. And I'm enjoying the poppy life. And, you know, I came back with a goal. My goal for we're going to be celebrating 20 years as a church next year. Isn't that hard to believe? I mean, that's seems like yesterday when we planned this church in Leedy. And so I came up with the goal that I want to teach you guys the whole New Testament, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Yeah, and I don't know how long that's going to take me, maybe another 20 years, but I plan on being here that long. And so, you know, and I was thinking, we just celebrated Taya's birthday was yesterday. She turned 25, and so that means in September I'm turning 50. And 50. Clark's like, it's about time. Join the 50 club. And by the way, my dad is 69 today. Today is his birthday. Yeah. He told me he's 69 and holding. He said this is the only one he's going to hold on is 69. But so that's my goal. And because, you know, God called me, somebody asked me this week, it was actually Scott Page, who is, you know, that would be Taya's father-in-law. He's a pastor in Weatherford. And he asked me, we were talking about the fivefold ministry. And he said, Mark, what has God called you to be in the fivefold ministry? And I said, well, God called me to be a pastor, shepherd. I know that. And then he gave me the gift of teaching. I love to teach God's word. I told Jada, I said, I've been gone for 2 weeks, and I'm just ready to teach because God put it in me. And so I want to teach you guys the whole New Testament, and I want to do like what Paul said. He said, I want to teach the full counsel of God. You know, I like to teach my favorite subjects and all that kind of good stuff, but we need to hear it all. Amen. And so we have the right diet of God's word. So we're going to start. I thought, well, the gospel that I want to start with is in the New Testament would be Mark. Yeah, Mark, me and Mark. And so I'm going to teach this chapter by chapter. And I want to, you know, I'm going to teach it, but I also want to, and this is how I've asked God to help me teach it, is to teach it to apply it to our everyday lives in your walks with God. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I am going to put them up on the screen too. But I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. And then also, I like to have you turn to different passages, of course. Mark chapter 1, Joshua chapter 1. And if you're a really good Bible turner page of the page, we're going to go to Romans chapter 8 as well. And actually, I didn't put a title on this message, even though it's Mark chapter 1. I'm going to title it, if you want a title, I'm going to title it Follow Jesus is the title of this. So look at somebody and say, Follow Jesus. All right, so we're going to get into this. Here's a few facts, some fun facts for you about the Gospel of Mark. Number one, most people don't know this, and I've learned a lot studying Mark here over the past few weeks. It's the first of the four Gospels that was written. It was not Matthew, it was actually Mark. So that's the first of the four Gospels that was written. What I love about Mark is it's fast-moving and action-packed. It's the shortest of the Gospels. It only has 16 chapters. And then number three there, it's the Gospel that every new believer needs to read. You know, a lot of times, you ever heard, you know, somebody becomes a new believer in the Lord and they're always told to go read the book of John. Well, that's a good place to start too. But actually, the better place to start is the book of Mark. And everybody said, amen. So there's some fun facts for you. All right, we're going to jump into Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And then we're going to, and if you're taking notes, you might want to write down 1, 2, 3. There's going to be 3 points to this message. Are you taking notes, Grace, on your phone? Look at that. Look at her. Yes, she's like proving it. She goes, I'm not on Snapchat. She made sure of that. I love it. I love people. I saw Grace before. I was up here when we was during prayer. She didn't know this, but I was up here during the prayer time, and I looked over there when they were worshiping that last song, and Grace has got her hand up and just worshiping. That just blesses my heart to see young people worshiping the Lord. And she's taking notes on her phone. I love that. Well, she was quick to say, I'm not on Snapchat. So I'm sure Mark and Carrie have said that to her or something. All right, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We all know John the Baptist. He was the first Baptist. Okay, verse 5. That's a joke, by the way, okay? Wasn't a Methodist, he was a Baptist. Wasn't a Pentecostal, he wasn't John the Pentecostal, he was John the Baptist. Okay, that's all right, enough of that. Verse 5. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan. Everybody say Jordan. That's important. We're going to look at this in just a second. Confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. And if studying this out back in those days, that's a prophet's attire was this. That's what he was wearing. And he ate locusts and wild honey. And I've always looked at that, and I was thinking, you know, the locusts are plentiful right now. You hear them every day, and I'm thinking, that guy ate bugs and then wild honey. Well, actually, what I found out studying this is locust was actually a locust tree that had seed pods on it, and then he mixed it with wild honey. And this was actually the equivalent of today. In today's, it was like a power bar, basically. And actually, who also ate that when I was studying this out, because Mark was written to the Romans, so this was a Roman, you know, they're writing to the Romans, who actually ate that was the Spartans, ate those power bars. So did John the Baptist. So it wasn't grasshoppers, like I always have always thought. Golly, this guy was weird. All right, so I was like, they just went out there to see him eating this stuff, you know. Verse 7 says, And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Now, the book of Mark, just to kind of give you a little background, Mark chapter 10, verse 45, we won't turn there, but the whole gospel message of Mark is summed up in this one single verse. It says, For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so this whole gospel sums up Jesus' life as his life was of service and of sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for us. Now, I love this about Mark's gospel because I look back there and I see Betty back there, and Dusty and Betty had come over here. They moved to Leedy from Weatherford. God, when was that, guys? How many years ago has that been now? 06. Yeah, 06. And got baptized. I remember baptizing them. It was uptown, wasn't it? Uptown. Baptized them in the building uptown. And then we just threw them right into ministry. And Betty was like, Pastor Mark just dunked and dumped us. because we were needing help. But that's how the Gospel of Mark starts off. The dunk and dump, you know, and Jesus went right into his ministry after the baptism. And so, but one of the things that came out in verse 1, Mark just basically, you know, the other Gospels, they have the genealogies, and they try to prove that he came from the lineage of David and all that, and that's all good. But with Mark writing to the Romans, he just starts off and says, hey, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he is the Son of God. You just need to know that. He just starts off in verse 1 saying he's the Son of God. And then something else, and this is where my thoughts went to as well as I was studying this, is Mark's gospel begins at the Jordan River where Jesus gets baptized by John. And if you know the word, and most of you in here, I'm surveying the crowd, most of you in here have been in church for quite a while, grew up in church, is the Jordan River represents the ending of the wilderness journey for the children of Israel and the entrance into their promised land. The Jordan River had that significance in the children of Israel's life. And so I got to thinking about that from a spiritual perspective, because Mark's gospel starts off at the Jordan River. And so I want to jump back to Joshua so you see this in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses.'" Now, most of you know this story, but I'm going to kind of give you a backdrop of this story. The children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They had been in slavery to the Egyptians for 400 years. And the book of Exodus says that God heard their cries of deliverance and sent Moses to be their deliverer. Everybody got that? Most of you know that. And so they go out, and, you know, they're just following Moses, and there's up to, you know, some scholars say there's up to 2 to 3 million people. You talk about having to pastor a bunch of people. But they had a wilderness mentality. They had a slave mentality. Once they get out there, God's taking care of them. He's feeding them. He's watering them. He's doing everything for them. The Bible says that they could have made that journey in 11 days, but what kept them out there for 40 years was this right here. They kept thinking they were they actually wanted to go back. They ended up, after they wandered for so long, they were like, golly, at least we had 3 meals a day, you know, and all this stuff back, you know, back in Egypt. We'd like to go back. And, I mean, I was studying that out, and one of them says that we used to have cucumbers back in Egypt. I'm like, my gosh, if you're wanting to go back because of cucumbers, something's wrong with you. Hello. And all this, you know, they're just wanting to go back. And then it says that God led Moses to take him out to Mount Horeb, and that's where the law was given. And God wanted them to, he wanted to be their God. He wanted to talk to each one of them. He wanted to have a relationship with each one of them. The people were so lazy because they had the slave mentality. He's like, Moses, we want you to be the guy that takes care of our relationship for us. Okay. You go, Pastor, you go be the relationship. Tell us what God's saying. And if we think it's okay, we'll follow you. And if not, you know, we're going to still have our slave mentalities and cause a lot of complaining and murmuring and Amen. So it's just a bad day for Moses, and that, you know, the Mount Horeb and the law, and God even says he wants to talk to each one of them personally, but they tell Moses, we want you to go do it. You go up the mountain and get the law for us. And so after all this wandering, they come up to the Jordan River, and Moses sends in 12 spies, and the only two that come back with a good report was Joshua and Caleb. And the other 10 brought back a negative report, and that caused them to keep wandering for the 40 years. They end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, so that whole generation of the wrong mindset died off, and then Joshua and Caleb, evidently, the young generation that was coming up, gave them the right mindset to be able to go into the promised land. Everybody got that? That's kind of a nutshell of what happened with the children of Israel. And so there's some parallels of Joshua and Jesus, though. The first book, let me just give you some of this. The first book after the law is Joshua. There's, you know, the first 5 books of the Bible are the law, the Pentateuch, and then the first book after the law is Joshua. Mark is the first book after the Old Testament. Not Matthew, remember. Mark was. And then Joshua and Jesus, we got a Joshua in here today, Josh Hawkins back there. Joshua and Jesus had the same name. And their name in Hebrew is Yeshua. So you can start calling Joshua Yeshua. That's his Hebrew name, Yeshua. And that name means God will save his people. It's a cool name. Josh, your parents named you right, buddy. That's an awesome name. All right. And so going back into Joshua, and I'm not going to turn there and all these because there's a lot to this, but in Joshua chapter 3, when they finally, Moses has died, God's taking them into the promised land. Joshua's their leader now. They've got a people that's got the right mindset to be able to go into the land. And when they cross the Jordan River, God instructs them, you know, there's 3 days of, I want you to consecrate yourselves to the Lord. There's this, the 3 days there, and as they cross the Jordan, he says, I want you to get, the priests are going to go first with the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says, as soon as the sole of their feet touched the bottom of the river, says the Bible says it actually heaped up or backed up, plumb back to a town, a little town called Adam. You can look this up later, Joshua. Back to Adam. Does that sound familiar? Adam? Okay. And so now come back into what we just read in Mark chapter 1. Moses and Joshua and John the Baptist baptized in water. All right? Because so Moses with the Red Sea, that's a type and shadow of baptism with the children of Israel. Joshua going across the Jordan River, that's a type and shadow of baptism. And then John the Baptist is actually, he's baptizing people in the Jordan River. And he's announcing that Jesus is coming, the Son of God, and who's, I'm not worthy to even, you know, latch at his shoes. I'm not even worthy to touch his sandals, is what he's telling people. People are coming out there by the droves to get baptized. And then Jesus shows up. And in verse 10, it says, when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, it says the heavens opened up. And I'm going to tell you something. The heavens opened up all the way back to Adam and restored a relationship. It wasn't just in the natural like it was in the Old Testament. It was in the spiritual and restored a relationship. And so my main, the, if you want a sermon in a sentence, and I didn't write it down on the screen, but here's what it, what this all means. Jesus comes to lead us out of a wilderness wandering mentality into living in a promised land reality. And everybody said, amen. So now we go to Romans chapter 8. This is what the Apostle Paul knew about, and this is what he's talking about here, this promised land reality. In Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, he says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He did that for us. And in verse 4 it says, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Guys, that's good news. It's not just good news, it's the best news ever. Is that song that Mercy Me, that's been my jam here lately, Mercy Me. And I've told Patricia and Travis, I said, I want that to play before service starts, and I want that to play after the service, because there's a, you need to listen to that song, Mercy Me, the best news ever, because there is a powerful message in that song. I was listening to it while I was getting ready, putting on my feeding clothes this morning. Dusty texted me, said, I'm ready for the message today. I'm ready to be fed the word of God. And I said, well, I'm getting my feeding clothes on. And I was listening to that song. But here's three things that I want to give you about what Mark chapter 1 is telling us about with Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River and in this promised land reality. Here's number one, is our position in Christ. Grace versus works. We're under grace. It's not about works. It's not about keeping the law, because none of us can do it. That's why Jesus had to come. If we could do it, then Jesus didn't have to come. But we can't do it. Jesus had to come. Thank God he came. And that, so the wilderness mentality is this: someday I will be good enough. This still happens today. I even do it. We all do it in here. That wilderness mentality creeps back in. And we start saying, man, someday I'll be good enough. Someday, you know, we start thinking, and I used to think this. I used to think, man, before I come to God, I need to clean myself up, clean my act up, you know. I need to quit doing this. I need to quit doing that. I need to quit, you know. And God's saying, no, I want you to come just as you are. Yeah, someday I will be good enough. That someday's never, your good is never good enough. You can't be gooder. Amen. And we're all trying to be gooder all the time, and we can't do it. That's why he had to come. I love this position. So here's the promised land reality. That's the wilderness mentality. The promised land reality is this. Today, God is good enough. That's why we say it all the time around here. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Today, God is good enough, and he is always good. We're not good, but he is. On your best day, you're not good enough. But God is always good. So it's not about works. It's about grace. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace through faith that you have been saved, not by works, lest any man should boast." It's the gift of God. It's a gift. If the Holy Spirit, Jade and I came up to the table today to have communion, and I've been studying this, and I came up to the table today, and just, I mean, guys, I'm so overwhelmed that I had nothing to do with it. The Holy Spirit was what drew me. And when I came up to that table today, when Jade and I were praying, I was like, "God, thank you for calling me out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you that I heard the Spirit wooing me." You know, and don't, guys, if the Spirit is wooing you, don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. And everybody said amen. So that position, we have to realize our position is grace, not works. And I'm telling you guys, even I as your pastor sometimes have to remind myself, Mark, it's not about works. It's not about works. It's not about works. It's about grace. Because our good is not good enough. All right, number two is resources. Is resources, and this is blessing and empower. And the wilderness mentality is, someday I will have enough. Someday I will have enough. That's the wilderness mentality. The promised land reality is this. Today I have access to all of heaven's resources spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, and financially. Amen. You have that. You have access to all that. Now, I'm not talking about greed and all that, and name it and claim it, and, oh, I need a Mercedes. Hoo-ha! I'm going to go lay hands on that Mercedes and claim it. No, okay? That's goofball land, all right? But God wants to give you the resources, the blessing, and the power that you need to accomplish His will in the earth. And He'll provide that spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally, and financially. Now, He also may ask you in that process of this happening about the resources, the blessing, and the power. He may ask you, because it's a relationship, He may ask you that you need to do something by faith in that process. And I'm gonna use somebody as a sermon illustration that happened this morning, and that was Sarah. And Sarah came up for prayer, and she told us she was, I hope this is okay, I'll share this, Sarah, okay. She came up and she goes, "You know, guys," because I was like, "Sarah, this is all of us here, not just you." She goes, "I just feel like when every time I come up here for prayer, I'm just like, I need to surrender this. I need to surrender that. I need to surrender this." And I'm like, welcome to the club, you know, because that's you're in a relationship with God. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And so she told us about financially that she said she's adulting now, okay? And she was saying that the Lord has been speaking to her about, because she's heard it taught here and she's seen it in the Word, that she needs to start tithing. And so because she's in this relationship, God's saying, the reason why I'm telling you this, Sarah, is because I want to take you in the promised land. And then God's going to open up more resources for you. And it's not just financial blessings, but spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, relationally. Hello, relationally. I think that's something she's believing for. And so that's what happens. When you obey God, then God's able to release all of His blessings and His goodness upon you. Yes. I'm proud of you, Sarah. Yes. Get ready for some resources coming your way. Amen. All right. So that's just a little side note there, that in this process, it's about relationship. You just can't be saying and standing in the Jordan River and there's open heaven. Like, you know, God's going to call you to do some things. It's a relationship. All right, here's number three. Number three is identity, and this is talking about sonship versus slavery. And the wilderness mentality is this: someday I will prove myself and be accepted. Okay, that's wilderness. I love this. Identity, sonship versus slave, promised land reality. Today, God has proven Himself, and you are accepted. Yes. Jesus died on the cross for you, and you're accepted. Yes. And you had nothing to do with it. And that's why when I was telling you about the children of Israel, when they wanted to go back and they wanted the cucumbers back in Egypt, I mean, they're wanting the onions and all that, you know, that's what they're thinking about. Because we used to have, there's like, we had all that stuff back in, and we look at that and we read it and we're like, these people are dumb. They are stupid, you know, and here's the deal. You can fix stupid. You can, if you'll renew your mind, according to the Word of God. And we read that, but how many times do we do the same thing? And I talked, in fact, bring this up into real life. I talked to somebody one time that had been incarcerated. They'd been in prison. And this is what they told me. When they got out, they said, I want to go back because at least I had 3 meals a day. Because when they got out, they had to work. They had something, they needed to do something with their life. And that's a wilderness mentality. And so that's why they wanted to go back. So the promised land reality is today God has proven himself and you are accepted. And this is again in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. It says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Wow. That's a mouthful, guys. God wants you to know that you're a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and that's where your identity needs to rest at. It's not about what you do and all those things, all the works and everything. Now, I'm going to jump down to verse 22 in Mark chapter 1, and it says, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes." And I'm going to tell you where Jesus' authority came from. Jesus' authority flowed out of his identity, his resources, and his position. It flowed out of a relationship with his Father. That's where it flowed out of. And he wants to give, that's why the heavens were open, so that he could give that all back to us. That identity, the resources, and the position that we once had in the Garden of Eden. And I want to ask you today, how do you see yourself in Christ today? Do you see yourself in the wilderness, or do you see yourself in the promised land? And it's all about this. It's about the mindset. It's where you see yourself. And the title of this message is Follow Jesus. And I cannot, as a pastor, I cannot overlook this, that we just talked about water baptism. And we talked about how, you know, Moses and Joshua and then John the Baptist. And I want you to notice something, that even Jesus was water baptized. Everybody, if you're a follower of Christ, you need to be water baptized. I've heard all kinds of excuses why people won't do it. Guys, it's the first step of discipleship in following the Lord is water baptism. There's some people like Naaman in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when the prophet said, to be healed, you need to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He's like, I ain't doing that. Finally, he did. He finally obeyed. And the reason why he didn't want to obey at the beginning was because of his pride. P-R-I-D-E, pride. And that's what keeps a lot of people from following the Lord, is pride. And so I want to encourage you. I'm going to tell you about myself. I've got a little children's Bible back there in my office. I had an encounter with the Lord when I was at the age of 9 at the Baptist church here in Leedy, and was water baptized at that time at 9 years old. Fast forward about age 23, when Jade and I had first got married. We was married when we were 22, married for a year, and we started getting invited to church by Julie and Joni, was who started inviting us to church. We went to church, and I just realized, Jade and I both realized we need to do this again. She'd been baptized as a child as well, and so we just thought, we're adults now. We need to do this again. So we did as an adult at the age of 23 is when we did it. And I'm glad we did, because that's it helped our mindset. Some people will say, I had one guy who was uptown where Dusty and Betty got baptized at, and we had a little heated baptistry that we'd have to fill up and baptize them. I had somebody come in and say they don't go to our church, and they saw what I was doing up there, and I was setting all that up, and I was telling him what it was, and he goes, oh, that's just a symbol. And I'm like, buddy, yeah, I understand it's just a symbol, but it's way more than that. It's way more than that. It's a step of obedience that we, just like when I talked about Sarah with the tithing, with fall, it's part of the discipleship program that God puts in place, not a church, but the Lord. Is he really Lord of all? You know, I'm not questioning anybody's salvation, but back to Sarah, every day we're all surrendering more. I'm still in the surrendering process. God will reveal something to me that, hey, Mark, you need to surrender that area to me. Okay, you know. And sometimes we have those places where, okay, God, you're off limits there. God's saying, no, I want that place too. I want all of you. And so I'm just encouraging you as your pastor, if you haven't, maybe you did get like me, you got baptized as a child, maybe you need to do it again. We can do that. We can do that right here. We can fill up this baptistry and be done next Sunday if you want to. You can see me after service and we'll do that. Maybe you just, you know, I've baptized people 3 and 4 times. You know, they're just like, I just need to do it one more time. I say, okay, you know, it's okay, you know. But do it. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you to do that and you've never done it before, don't let pride, don't be like Naaman. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want to, I feel like I need to do one thing before we close out this service, and we're going to, how I normally do, and I'm going to say this too, I'm going to be teaching through Mark, but I'm also going to be led of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit interrupts me during the week and says, no, you need to teach on this, then I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be like Mr. Rigid on, okay, next week's Mark chapter 2, you know. I'm being open to the Holy Spirit, but this helps me studying, and I hope to present this in a way that, did this help you today?
Yes.
Did it help you with your relationship with the God? Okay, good, because that's why I want to teach it, not just get up here and bore you with a bunch of facts about Mark and that his first name was John. I could just go all day telling you about John Mark, but and I was going to do this privately, but I feel like the Lord spoke to me to do this publicly. And Mark Ward is a good friend of mine. And Mark is, Mark texted me the other day and says, hey, we need to get back to going in our break. We have breakfast once a week. He texted me the other day and we said, we need to start having breakfast again once a week. So we're going to have breakfast again this week. And Mark's family is a blessing to this church.
Amen.
And just, you know, the gifts and the talents that they have, and they're using them for God. It's just a blessing. I mean, I'm just blown away. I sat up here and I watched Luke, and he is just going to town on that electric guitar and leading. And then I look back here at this blonde-headed surfer-looking boy from California named Parker, and he's just tearing up the drums. And then this morning, some of you weren't here, but Grace was up here, and Mark had Grace up here sitting by him, and she's learning the guitar, learning some chords. And she got done, and she said, I learned 3 today. I said, hey, 3's better than 1, you know, and 3's better than none. And it's just awesome to see this family. And when I was standing over here worshiping, and I just, Mark, there was just a different anointing on you today. And I was thinking about the word I was fixing to bring and about the open heavens. And I just saw heavens opened over you. And some of you don't, there's some things going on in Mark's life that I know is a pastor. We've walked through a lot of stuff over the years. But Mark is now the head coach at Leedy High School baseball. And so I'm so proud of him. Yeah, that's awesome. And Mark, I just feel like that job that came up for you and your family, and I know we had talks before this because Mark was like, we were talking about it, and he was like, I don't know if God's asking us to move. And I'm like, no, in the name of Jesus, no. That's what I'm thinking, you know. We've been through all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, he tells me about what's happened and just the open heavens. Because the one thing Mark told me, he said, the thing that holds me here are the two things, is he said, is the church and my family. And I told Mark, I said, Mark, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know what God's going to do, but God is going to honor that. God's going to honor that. And God did. And God is good. And I just want to tell you, Mark, you're 50, right? Yeah, he's older. He goes, yeah. I had to remind him that he's 50. He's older than I am. This is the year of Jubilee for you.
Amen.
And and for some people it's just a job, you know, this coaching deal, but I know what all you've been through. This is more than a job. This was like open heavens. It's an answer to prayer that's going to, I don't know where all it's going to lead to, but it's bigger than what you even think. Amen. And just walk it out and follow Jesus, and he's going to lead you every step of the way. Amen. Proud of you, man. So I had to release that. And God told me to do that publicly, not privately, because I thought, well, I'll catch him back in the office. And he said, no, God says what I do in private, I want you to make public. So we're going to let that be known. All right, let's pray. I want everyone to bow your heads in here. Just want to make sure that we do this every Sunday here at Harvest Fellowship Church, that want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, because I want everyone here following him and listening to him. And it's because we have people that not only you here listening to this message, but people listen to this online. They also listen to this on the radio as well. And I want to lead you in a prayer, just a prayer of salvation. And it's very easy. It's not just good news. It's the best news ever. It's confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you, even if you do know the Lord and you have a relationship with him, I want you to repeat this prayer with everyone in here. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to stand up in here. Jada, would you come up here with me, babe? And we're going to speak a blessing over you today. Believe in the speaking that pastoral blessing over you. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that's brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. You guys have a blessed week. Hug somebody's neck and say, follow Jesus.